David Gumpert is the author of three books concerned with raw milk. His newest is the Raw Milk Answer book from Lawson Publishing. He is a former reporter for the Wall Street Journal and an editor at Inc. magazine. He often writes about the intersection of food, health, and business. David Gumpert, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, glad to be here.
Well, tell me a little bit about your interest in raw milk and why you approached this subject.
I became interested in raw milk about 6 or 7 years ago as a part of my ongoing interest in small business and entrepreneurship. I've written a number of books about entrepreneurship as well, how to start a business and how to write a business plan. And I saw that the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, was going after small farmers who were selling raw milk, and these were basically small dairies. And small dairies are small businesses, and I just became interested in wondering why the government would be trying to put small businesses out of business. I mean, we have something called the Small Business Administration that supports small business, and I'd always seen the government at least as, if not supporting businesses, at least kind of keeping a hands-off approach. And so this was something new, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
As I read the information on the FDA website, in no uncertain terms, they feel like people should never consume raw milk. Are they basing some of that on strictly science, or do you think politics are working their way into that as well?
Well, they say it's based on science. And in the Raw Milk Answer book, I try to explore just what is behind the FDA's strong stand on raw milk. I mean, they say that raw milk is inherently dangerous, which suggests that there's no way that it can ever be produced safely. And yet, you have hundreds of thousands, likely millions of people drinking it every day. And so, it's a little bit of a contradiction, and between what they say and what the experience is. They say it's based on science, but if you look at the science is really, or the research that's been done has mostly been done on milk that's intended for pasteurization, and that milk often isn't as clean as it should be because the farmers know it's going to be zapped. And so there really isn't a lot of research on the dangers of milk that's intended to be served raw or unpasteurized.
We have a caller, Bill in Medford, would like to speak about raw milk. Bill, go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, my personal belief is that the raw milk movement, in addition, of course, to making money, is based on this anti-science thing that a certain portion of our public seems to be grabbing onto these days. It's bothersome to me because all of the responsible science indicates that there is a danger in drinking raw milk. I suppose if a person wants to do that, they should be entitled to, but I'm certainly opposed to the government loosening the regulations. The gentleman wondered if they were anti-business. No, they are pro-safety.
Can you speak to that, David?
Sure. I just asked Bill, you know, I was just talking about, you know, whether there is science. And I just ask you, do you know of any science or any scientific studies that demonstrate that raw milk is inherently dangerous?
You know, that brings up a question. We've had pasteurization around for a long period of time. Are you suggesting that that's something that's sort of preemptive but not necessarily of value?
No, not at all. I actually go through the history of raw milk in my book, and it's really an unfortunate history because back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, raw milk was really what most people consumed. But there, as people moved from farms to the cities as part of the Industrial Revolution, the milk supply couldn't really keep up, and there were a lot of unscrupulous operators in big cities like Boston and New York and Philadelphia, Chicago, producing milk that really was unsanitary and raised in bad conditions. So, but people didn't really understand the dangers of having people who, milking the cows who had tuberculosis, for example. And so you had outbreaks of typhus and tuberculosis and other really awful diseases, and hundreds and even thousands of children, along with adults, were killed as a result. And so the question is whether things are different now. And, of course, we know much more about how to produce food safely, not just milk, but all foods. And so the diseases that made people so sick then have really been eradicated. And so we really, today, we have a situation where milk that's unpasteurized is can be produced much more safely because of this knowledge that we have about cooling it rapidly and about using sanitation and shipping it properly and you know, taking all kinds of precautions that weren't understood in those days.
Joining us this morning, David Gumpert. He is the author of three books on raw milk, and his latest is entitled The Raw Milk Answer Book by Lawson Publishing. Joining us on the line here is Mark in Reading. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning. Yes, many years ago I watched a PBS program on either the Mayo Brothers or Milk. I can't remember which at this point. But one of the Mayo Brothers went around to farmers in Minnesota explaining to them that if they had their milk pasteurized, they wouldn't need to have their cows tested for tuberculosis on a regular basis, as was required, at least in Minnesota at that time.
Yeah,
so that was one of the big selling points on pasteurization, was to get away from having to have your cows tested for TB.
Have you heard that, David?
No, I believe cows in pretty much all states have to be tested for TB, whether the milk is being pasteurized or whether it's being sold raw. That's just one of those broad safety steps that were introduced years ago, and along with a number of other steps to clean up the not only the milk supply but the food supply in general. I mean, this doesn't just affect meat. Excuse me, affect milk. It affects meat as well. So, but I you know, you're really talking to a point that I didn't mention, and that's the question of the role of the milk processing industry in trying to clamp down and alienate raw milk. We have a huge milk processing industry in this country, which is being threatened by the growing popularity of raw milk, and they're fighting back, and they're pushing the FDA, and they're pushing state agencies to clamp down on raw milk. And so you have this struggle that's going on right now in many state legislatures around the country over the availability of raw milk and the rules around it.
I have a question, David, about due diligence. In our society especially, we're further removed from the food we consume than ever before, and not many of us do due diligence. We don't really investigate where the food originally comes from by the time it ends up wrapped and in the store for us to purchase. We just assume through a combination of government oversight and free enterprise that the food is safe to eat. If someone is participating in more of a, I guess, an organic or natural lifestyle, if they're concerned or they wish to drink raw milk, how do people go about doing that due diligence to make sure that it's safe?
That's a really good question, because you're absolutely right. We have grown more and more distant from our food. I grew up in the city. I don't feel always, you know, very competent about assessing farming methods, and I visit a lot of farms. But I encourage people in my book to ask a number of questions if they want to buy raw milk directly from a farm, and that's usually the way you wind up buying it. I think the first question, or the really approach, is to ask the farmer who's supplying it some questions and just see what the attitude is. The farmer should be willing to engage in discussion and should be open to answering even questions that sound, you know, silly or sound uninformed, because they often are uninformed because of this distance we have. But if a farmer isn't willing to talk about his practices or answer specific questions about how the cows are raised and the kinds of steps that are taken to make sure that the milk is clean, then I think it's a good idea to move on. But if the farmer will answer questions, often he or she will anticipate a lot of the questions and even have information written up. And certainly the farmer should be willing to show you around and show you the how things are maintained so as to produce good quality milk.
We're speaking with David Gumpert this morning. He's written three books about raw milk. If you have a question or a concern about that subject, please give us a call. Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. What do you see, David, as the advantages to raw milk?
Well, there are a couple of advantages. One advantage is that it's unprocessed, and I think many people are coming to realize that unprocessed food is just in general healthier than processed food. I mean, when you come down to it, pasteurized milk is our first processed food. It's heated and it's generally homogenized, which means it's shaken up pretty strenuously, and so it's a processed food. But I think beyond that, there's more research coming out, particularly out of Europe, which suggests that raw milk has health benefits that pasteurized milk doesn't have. There have been some large-scale studies over there over the last 6, 7, 8 years, which, and these are studies of more than 20,000 children in Europe, indicating that children who are drinking raw milk have a lower incidence of asthma and allergies than children who are drinking pasteurized milk. Well, that's kind of important, especially with something like 10% of our children now having asthma. So if this is something that could help ward off asthma, offer a protective effect against asthma, well, that seems to me to be something that's worth looking at.
Let's check in with Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Go ahead, Wolfgang.
Good morning. I'm looking over at Sunny Valley. And I grew up on raw milk, so I'm a walking health benefit, so to speak. And I have since, I mean, and then government came in and outlawed live milk and forced us to buy it at the back door of the farm because they couldn't sell it at the front door anymore. And I have come back to raw milk, luckily. And I have found several things. As I said, raw milk is alive. Pasteurized milk is dead, which you can tell by a few things, like your guest was expressing. Health, not only health benefits, but I had sifted off the cream, and then I let the rest stand, turned into whey, clabber, and all the rest, and I had whey in my fridge for 3 years. And I opened the bottle, and I drank it, and it was good. Hmm. So there is something that nature sort of knows what she's doing.
That's an interesting point. David, can you speak to that? Nature knows what it's doing.
Very well stated, and I hear these stories all the time. It's what's kind of almost humorous in a crazy kind of a way. I hear sometimes agricultural regulators say the same thing. You know, I grew up on raw milk, and it was really great, and I know it helped me stay healthy, and I had fewer colds, and so on and so forth. But, you know, today things are different, and we really have to, that the pathogens are more dangerous, and we can't allow people to drink raw milk. And it's kind of strange. I mean, you know, they had the privilege of growing up with it, and they saw the benefits, and then they somehow wanted to deny it to others. But you know, there are a lot of people. There's a lot of what the scientists often refer to, or the regulators refer to, as anecdotal information. They say, well, you know, just because this person, you know, feels they were healthy, or just because this parent thinks their children have fewer colds, or you know, those kinds of things don't really count. But I just keep hearing those stories over and over, and I have to think that they are you know, they are for real, because why would people say those things if they weren't true?
Ryan and Eugene has a question. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just commenting to the woman who answered the phone that, you know, that ultimately breastfeeding is the perfect source of raw milk, and we certainly don't have the concerns about that. But one of the things that comes with that conversation is a greater appreciation for the acquisition and the health benefits of a human biome, a healthy human biome that includes critters. And raw milk has critters in it. That's one. It may not have pathogenic critters, but if you let raw milk sit for a while, it will begin to curdle. It'll begin to change. And, you know, and of course, one of the things that I think about historical raw milk is it was served warm or room temperature. But anyway, you know, I think that there's something here that we have a paranoia of anything microbiological. You know, we now eat yogurt, you know, because it has good critters in it. You know, it's just a funny thing about our time and our fear of anything alive.
Yeah, your response to that, David.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. And, you know, there's a general, and even scientists are beginning to, and health experts are beginning to question our push for ever more sanitation. I mean, all these hand sanitizers around, and they all speak to a trend that the caller identifies, which is to make our society ever more clean and sanitized. And then there's a growing sense among more health experts that part of the reason we have such a high incidence of asthma and allergies is because children don't have a chance to build up immunity against these autoimmune conditions. And so things like unprocessed foods like raw milk offer that opportunity to nurture what the caller was referring to as the biome, or sometimes referred to as the microbiome. And the microbiome, we are learning, is billions and billions and billions of bacteria and enzymes and proteins and so forth that make up our system and help strengthen our immune system. And those are becoming, that there's a growing realization that the microbiome is really essential to building immunity, and that we have to nurture that. And raw milk is one way that many people are choosing to do that. I just would add that I respect the idea, the notion that raw milk isn't for everyone. And I think you asked me earlier about, you know, am I somehow against pasteurized milk? And no, I'm not. And I think pasteurized milk serves an important purpose, and many people what I would call risk averse, and they just they don't want to take the risk. And there is a risk associated with raw milk, just as there is a risk of in many foods of potentially becoming sick. And I respect that people. Some people choose not to go that path.
Let me ask you about the argument that some people make that cow's milk is for baby cows and human milk is for baby humans, and that we shouldn't be drinking cow's milk or any other kind of milk at all. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I've heard that. That's an interesting idea, and I'm not sure that... the implication of that assertion is that, well, drinking milk from other species, whether it's cows or goats or even camels, I mean, camel milk is becoming popular now, is somehow bad. But I haven't seen any evidence that it's unhealthy. And what's part of the reason that raw milk from a cow has become as popular is because... some mothers can't nurse, or some mothers can only nurse for a short period of time, and so children as they grow up move away from nursing, but they still have a need, or seem to have a need, for the nutrients in milk. So cow's milk tends to be a kind of a part of a progression, and it's part of a progression, I think, because it's it has nutritional benefits, and so we've tried to, as a society, we've tried to cultivate that, and you know, I think then it becomes a matter of philosophy if you think that you know, consuming milk from another species is somehow wrong or whatever, then you shouldn't do it. I'll just say, add that we, if you read the Bible, the notion of milk is very popular in the Bible, and it's often equated with luxury foods like wine, and you know, we talked about the land of milk and honey. That's from the Bible. It's been around for a long time, and it's been a part of our many cultures for a long time, and I think probably for you know, rational reasons.
We have about a minute left. I had one final question that I wondered about. When raw milk is processed into something different, like cheese, does that make it any safer, or does it stay pretty much the same through that whole process?
Once again, there's not a huge amount of science on cheese and safety, just as there isn't about milk and safety. But cheese, as it goes through the culturing process, seems to change, and the FDA actually has, back in the late 1940s, I think 48 or 49, enacted a regulation that allows raw milk cheese to be sold so long as it's aged for at least 60 days. And the rationale was that 60 days is a reasonable amount of time for the any pathogens that might be present to die off. And it's worked out pretty well. I mean, we really have very few illnesses from raw milk cheese, partly because it's aged for at least 60 days.
Our guest this morning has been David Gumpert. He's the author of three books concerning raw milk. He has written the latest, The Raw Milk Answer Book, published by Lawson Publishing in 2015, and you can pick that up anywhere. David, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.